Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Risen for the Detroit Lions Podcast and Lions Wire coming at you. Last week, we talked about the five players that I don't want the Lions to draft. You can search the archives for that. This week, by popular demand, I'm going to talk about the players that I think are the most likely that the Lions do actually draft with the number 29 pick. So let's talk some draft, baby. Yeah. Right. This was a common feedback from the last video was, well, who do you think they're going to take? And my honest answer, and I think it's the only honest answer that anybody can give, is I don't know. But I have a pretty good idea of the players that they're looking at and the range that these players are going to go in and who fits, who doesn't fit, who they've looked at, who they haven't necessarily looked at various pro days, Senior Bowl, Combine, all that stuff. And after looking through that, I got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I got 8 names written down here. Probably can't read that. There's your spoiler alert. For those of you who like to, zoom in on the screens and try to see like what's on their board when they show the little glyphs from the inside the den things. Yeah. Keep practicing on that because, that's going to be good this year because, this year picking 29 means there's 28 variables ahead of you. Which means that if you know what's going to happen with all 28 of those picks and you know exactly who the Lions are going to get the pick from at number 29, God bless you. I don't know that. And I've been around the team a lot during the draft process. I've been around a lot of the prospects, the agents. I've been at Pro Days, Combine, Senior Bowl. I don't know. I don't know how that draft is going to play out other than like the first 2 or 3 picks. I have a pretty good idea of players that are going to be gone and I left them off here. Tyrion Arnold, I left off. I left off Graham Barton because I do think he's going to be gone. Of the usual suspects that aren't like top 10 picks. I'm trying to think who else I left off. Brian Thomas, I don't think is going to be there from LSU. I would put him on this list if I thought he was going to be there, but I think he's the number 4 wide receiver, and I do think he's going to be gone. So let's start. You know what? We'll start with the player that I think is the most likely choice at number 29, and that's Missouri defensive end Darius Robinson. Detroit kid, good tape. Played as an interior presence for the Tigers for a few years, kicked outside, dropped some mass this year, dropped down to about 280, 282 as a playing weight. Looked pretty good doing the outside. As I've said it before, his style reminds you of Ziggy Ansah. Now, he's not as twitchy. He's certainly not as fast around the end as Ziggy was. But that same style of play, a bigger, more muscular power-to-speed end. Now, since the combine, he has bulked back up a little bit. I was told reliably that he was 288 when he was at the Lions' local pro day. 288 is really heavy for an end. You're looking at a guy who's a 5 technique who plays the same role basically as John Kaminsky as an edge setting outside. When they go tight, when they go to a 3-man front, he is one of your ends in sort of a 5 or a 4-eye, which is kind of what he did at Missouri for a time. So I think he's very appealing. I think he has the characteristics off the field that they like. I think he's got the production that they do like. This was a guy, he did a lot to help his team out. He had a lot of talent around him, and we're going to actually talk about another one of those players in a little bit, but he is my most likely choice, and I think you've seen that in a lot of places. I know ESPN, my old colleague from Bleacher Report, Matt Miller, back in the day, cited it as that this is the place where Darius Robinson lands. I don't doubt that. I don't know if Matt knows that, but it's a great guess on his part, if it is indeed, or whoever told him that. It seems like a great guess. Of all the players that I list here, he's probably the only one that I would give more than a 20% chance of being the pick, though. Again, because there's just so many variables and so many different players and scenarios that are going on. If they pick a 29, though, he would be my personal top choice By the way, I'm recording this on Sunday evening. The Masters is going on, the TV right over there. I don't really watch golf, so it was more to get a nap in, try to get rid of some of the bags under my eyes. But yeah, so Darius Robinson is the most likely. Let's go to the next one. Probably my favorite of the group, though I don't necessarily think that he's the Lions' favorite, and that's Jackson Powers Johnson, interior offensive line from Oregon. He was the top center in the country, won the Remington Award. I voted for it. At center this past year for Oregon, the year before that, 2022, he played guard and was named the best offensive lineman in the Pac-12. That's a guy who has the positional versatility that the Lions crave on the offensive line. They love dudes who can play multiple spots. They need guys who can play multiple spots because guess what? After they're starting five right now, Dan Skipper is your extra lineman who comes in and plays as the number six lineman. That's kind of it. Like, they don't have a lot of depth there. So, you know, and Kevin Zeitler on a one-year deal. Frank Ragnow, who knows what's going on with his, you know, foot injury, various injuries. He did threaten retirement this offseason. I do believe that he was serious about that. So we'll see what happens with that. But I know they like JPJ's character. I know they like his ability to get out in the run game. His athleticism, his power. But again, it's a matter of, do they value that position, a spot that's like, he's not going to start in 2023. He would be being groomed for next year to take over for Zeitler, Graham Glasgow, if he falls off somehow right now. Like, they got to get somebody in there. He would probably be my top choice of all these people. But I don't know if the Lions feel that way or not, but he's certainly in their hopper of names that they're going to be choosing from when they pick a 29. And I do kind of think he's going to be there. So that's that one. Wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. I am stealing this one from my good friend Mike O'Hara, who I sit next to in the Alliance media room when I'm over there in Dallas Park. Because I appeared on his podcast. He and Ken Brown, they do a great job. And I appeared with them, and he basically let it slip that that's going to be his first-round prediction for who they take. Mike knows a lot. I'm going to listen to Mike when he says things like that. It doesn't mean that he knows, because I don't think he knows. And by the way, I don't think he would admit to knowing if he did. But Mitchell does fit their need for a bigger, chain-moving wide receiver, a guy who replaces Josh Reynolds. He's got a little bit more juice than Josh Reynolds. He's a guy, and that's interesting to me because he didn't do a lot at Georgia and he didn't really do a whole lot for Texas. Like, he made big plays here and there. This is a guy who only catches two or three passes a game in his career. So the lack of production is a little scary. But then again, you know, Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy were on that team. Jonathan Brooks was on that team as a running back. Quinn Ewers as their quarterback doesn't thrill me all that much for next year. So I probably have to cut him a little bit of slack there, but he's certainly got the build, the gumption, the playing attitude that I think the Lions are looking for. They have talked with him. I know that. So Adonai Mitchell is one that if you're not familiar with his game, you probably need to get a little bit more familiar with it because he certainly belongs on the list of potential candidates here at number 29. Next up, we're going to go a couple of cornerbacks. Actually, there's three cornerbacks here, and I'll do them all in a row. In the likelihood, I think, I'm going to guess, educated guess. Got to make that clear. I'm not speaking for the Detroit Lions here. I don't do that. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama. Met with him a lot. He fits the style. He can play some press man corner. He's aggressive. He's got some swagger to him. He brings a little bit of that attitude that I think that they liked having with CJ GJ last year, and then CJ GJ got hurt and couldn't really play, and they kind of missed that edge. He's a guy who can bring an edge to it. He's disciplined. He's pretty smart. Can play the ball. He's certainly a guy that fits their athletic profile that they want, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, different than Terrion Arnold. Arnold, in my opinion, anyways, is a lot better than Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid would be fine though. I would not be upset at all if they took him. here because he does definitely fill a need. He would be a guy that could push for that second starting outside role. We'll see right away. And cornerback is really, it's about the only spot on the starting 22 where there's really a potential opening. I think all the other starting spots are set. I think the Lions are open. I think the Lions are very open to the idea that somebody could come in and beat out one of their incumbents or current incumbents for a starting outside cornerback job. And Kool-Aid could do that. The next guy could also do that, and that's Cooper DeJean. I think of all the folks here, he's probably the least likely to be here because I do think that there's very serious interest from the Philadelphia Eagles where they pick. I know the Rams have taken a look at him. I know the Packers have taken a very long look at him, as they do most Iowa prospects. So he is, after his private pro day workout, he's an elite athlete. And we kind of knew that from watching him play at Iowa, but it was reinforcing to see him come back from his broken leg and put on the show that he did. He's got very natural cover skills. He is a playmaking interceptor. I think he's actually a little bit better in zone than he is in man, but that doesn't mean that he can't play man at a high level. And he's certainly a very appealing guy. And he also brings the option, much like Brian Branch did a year ago. He can play safety. He can play outside. He can play inside. If you need him to play a little bit of like dime and linebacker, he can probably do that, you know, slide around and move around the formation like that. So Cooper DeJean from Iowa is certainly one that they would, you have to think that they would be strongly considering if he's on the board there too. The other one, this might catch people off guard a little bit. Mike Sainristil, Michigan cornerback. The NFL loves this guy. One of the things that I've learned in wearing my DraftWire hat recently, a lot more than I've been wearing the Lions hat, is that the NFL likes Mike Sainristil a lot. And one of the reasons is because he is growing exponentially at his new position. Remember, he went to Michigan. He was a wide receiver. Now he's playing defensive back, and he played really well. And he is a player who has a very high ceiling. Now, he's small, and that will probably relegate him to being in the slot. And I'll tell you why I think the Lions don't mind that, because I think that allows them to deploy Brian Branch wherever they want to. And he can play more of a rover roaming weapon type role. And that's something that if you watch the quick history lesson, Eric Glenn played for Bill Parcells. All the Parcells defenses have had that kind of guy who's like a robber, rover, freelance type player, especially the Ryan brothers version of Bill Parcells defense. Think Ed Reed, think guys like that. They love that kind of guy. I think the Lions think the Branch could be that guy. And if they were to take Mike Sainristil, I wouldn't worry about having to play them both on the field at the same time, because Sainristil, even though he's small, much like Amik Robertson, he can press, he can get into the face, he plays strong, he plays bigger than he looks. Now, obviously, there's limitations to that, but this is a guy, be open to the idea, especially all of you Lions fans who you know, bleed the Sparty green, or the rare odd of you who are Ohio State fans. You might have to get used to Mike Sainristil. And I will say this, and again, this is just my take. I think if the Lions don't take him at 29, I think he is the ultimate pick for the Baltimore Ravens at number 30. I think he is a first round pick. And if you can find a place that will take bets on his over under, take the under. Do it. Yeah. All right. So there's the cornerbacks. That leaves us with a couple more players. One of them is a local, well, for me anyways, living on the west side of the state, Western Michigan edge, Marshawn Neyland. Yes, I do believe the hype is real. I was at their pro day. I've been around people who have been around various things. I talked to a very informed person immediately after the Western Michigan pro day. Yeah, Neyland's going high. He will not be there in the second round, certainly not for the Lions. I think his floor is probably about 40, and 29 is not too high for him. It's pushing it. It would raise some eyebrows, certainly, but he is the guy. He's not the same as Robinson. He's got a little bit more speed to power to him. He does have the ability to work inside. He's got a little bit of ability to drop a little bit, and that's something that Robinson doesn't give you. But he is a He doesn't have the production, and one of the reasons he doesn't have the production is because he's coming off of a bit of an injury that definitely slowed down his burst. We did see that burst, and he talked about it a little bit at the combine too when I talked to him there. So there's Neyland is a guy. This is another one. I think this is a low probability that he would be the pick at 29, but I can't rule it out. And again, if you can definitively say, you know, that he's not going to be there, or the Lions definitely wouldn't take him, you're probably lying to yourself, because I don't think you know. By the way, I need to keep up with my tally, because I had it, it's on the sheet right over there, of all the players that I have been told definitively will not be there at number 29, and that list was up to 27. So keep at it. I need a couple more names to fill that list out, and I will publish that at LionsWire just before the draft. If you put your name on it, if you didn't just do it anonymously with some weird post or something, I'll quote you on it. And then the last one. This is one that I like, and this is one that I think that is more likely than I think a lot of Lions fans think when you're first hearing them. That's Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman from Arizona. Left tackle at Arizona, projects better to guard in the NFL, but I do think he can play tackle. And this is a case where the Lions don't, again, they don't need a starter in 2024. They don't need a starter in 2024. Go back a little bit and erase and change the year from 23 where it said 24. I don't sleep enough during draft time. Sorry, guys. But yeah, Jordan Morgan is a guy. They met with him at the Senior Bowl. Chris and I happened to interview him not long after that, the next morning, first thing in the morning, in fact. And Jordan let it be known that he thought it went well. I know they've also talked with him since then. So Jordan Morgan is a guy that can play that guard tackle, but 2024? Yes, 2024 is the year. He would be your swing offensive lineman, your top reserve, outside tackle. Again, this is a massive need for this team. And by the way, they know it's a massive need. Dan Skipper is back. They don't play him at tackle. Colby Sorstel, it sounds very strongly like they are intent on keeping him playing inside at guard. That's from multiple reliable sources. I've heard that. So I think I know there's ideas floating out there, and I have thought it too, that he could move back to tackle in a pinch. I think they definitely see him as a guard going forward, which means that they've got to have a backup tackle. Jordan Morgan comes in, and he's a guy, again, if Taylor Decker gets hurt and misses his two or three games a year, like he's had a pattern of doing, if for some reason, God forbid, Penei Sewell gets hurt, look, this offense does not work without a great offensive line. You've got to have better depth than Dan Skipper and Colby Sorsdahl and Coyote Ashika as your backups. You cannot go to battle with that. I know the Lions know that. And Jordan Morgan is a guy who has long-term starting potential, pretty good potential, by the way. Very impressive physical specimen. He moves pretty well. He's got some technical work to clean up, but that's where Hank Fraley's at his best, our offensive line coach. So there's your eight. If you push me on to add like one more, just as like a complete wild card, Tyler Newbin, safety Minnesota. That's really high for him based on everything that I've heard, but he does sort of fit the bill of what they're looking for at safety, and that is another position where if you're not super sold on Brandon Joseph and as your number three safety, because right now that he is, presuming that, of course, Brian Branch is playing your slot cornerback, and with iffy's injury history, with Kirby Joseph's sort of wild fluctuations in play, I definitely would want them to get another safety in there, and I think they know that one too. Yeah. So he would be my wild card. Again, I would put the odds really low at that, but can't rule it out. We'll learn in about 10 to 12 days. I can't even, it's the 14th right now, so 11 days. We will be in downtown Detroit learning what all happens with the first round, whether the Lions keep their pick, whether they move up, whether they move down, and which one of these eight or nine guys that they do pick, if they do pick at 29. With that, keep your eyes out. Definitely subscribe, because we're going to have more of these spontaneous pop-up videos coming. You will also hear some from Scott Bischoff and Russ Brown going into the draft. We're going to try to get Ash back on camera to get some of that too. And thanks for watching.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's
go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.